very much would like to talk about this evening is the age-old practice of putting out the 10 pieces of bread all over our homes when we do the Bedikas Chametz. What is this all about, and how does it relate to many other areas of halacha throughout the year as well? So we begin with a Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. This is a halacha that is quoted as well in the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah in Perek Beis, and in the Shulchan Aruch as well in Siman Taf Lamed Aleph, that every Jewish person has an obligation to do a Bedikas Chametz on Erev Pesach, and this applies to any place where we have a reasonable concern that we may have placed chametz throughout the year. Makom shemachnisim bo chametz is a place that requires a bedika. This, make no mistake, this requirement of bedikas chametz is only midrabanan. Midaraisa, the Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim on Daf Dalid, bibitul ba'al masagi, if I just get up on Erev Pesach and I say that all the chametz in my house is now ownerless, it does not belong to me, it's no longer my property, I'm not responsible for it. In a case like that, midaraisa, I have fulfilled my obligation, because the Gemara says, it says, lo yira lecha chametz velo yira lecha se'ar. Everything's about me. And the Gemara learns from there, shalcha I ata roeh. I'm not allowed to have chametz that belongs to me, aval ata roeh shalachayrim. I'm allowed to have chametz that belongs to other people. That's not my prohibition, that's not a problem at all. So really, technically, if I just went on Erev Pesach, and I got rid of my possession of any chametz, and relinquish my ownership, that would take care of the problem and I would have no issue at all. However, midrabanan, they said that this is not going to be sufficient. And the question is, why is this not enough? And the Rishonim have a dispute about why bitul ba'alma is not enough. Number one, some Rishonim say, perhaps the reason why, the Ran writes this in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, perhaps the reason why is because if you're going to leave it up to people to just be mevatil their chametz and say, I now consider it to be ownerless, it's hefker, it's not mine anymore, maybe not everybody's going to be so serious about that commitment. And therefore we have a concern that really, I want to remain the owner. And I don't really want to give the thousands of dollars of schnapps that I have in the house. I don't just want anybody to come and take it. So therefore, because we're concerned that I'm not going to be mevatel b'lev shalem, therefore we say that I have to actually eradicate all the chametz from my house, or you sell it to a non-Jew. Now make no mistake, when you sell it to a non-Jew, you also have to be b'lev shalem. That's also not a joke. When you sell it away, you have to make sure that you sell it with real intent that it no longer belongs to you, and now it has transferred ownership to the non-Jew. So that's reason number one, the Ran says, why the Chachamim felt it was necessary to have a requirement of Bedikas Chametz, because bebitul ba'alma lo sagi, we're afraid people are not going to have the real intent in mind when they are mevatel their chametz. Number two, the reason why, say the Rishonim, is because we have a concern. Since we are so accustomed, we have such a habit, every time we pass by our kitchen, we open this door, we open that cabinet, and we take something out to snack on. Therefore, if I'm so accustomed to doing that, and on Pesach I'm going to have all the chametz in their regular places, it just happens not to belong to me anymore, we have to be concerned that maybe somebody is inadvertently going to go to one of those cabinets, take out some of the chametz, and therefore violate the Isser on Pesach. And this is quoted by the Magen Avraham there in Siman Taf Lamed Aleph, that is the reason why Chazal instituted a mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. Now, something that people don't always think about is the fact that just as we have an obligation to check our homes for chametz, so do we have an obligation to check any of our property or any of our possession for chametz as well. Which means, if you own a business and you have offices that you are responsible for, that you are leasing or you're buying, and whatever it might be, they are under your possession and your responsibility, you have an obligation to do a Bedikas Chametz not only in your home, but also in those locations. More commonly forgotten is the fact that we really have an obligation to check our cars for chametz. At least in my car, it's a makom shemachnisim chametz. My kids go in the car all the time, and they always have cereal and cookies and snacks and all kinds of things, and you have a mess all over the car, and you have to make sure that on Leil Arba Asar, the night of Bedikas Chametz, one has to be sure that as well as I have an obligation to check my house, I also have a secondary obligation to check any property that is under my responsibility as well, which would include my car. This is a discussion in the Echavadas, and he comes to that conclusion, which I think makes a lot of sense. But he does write that if your car is in the driveway, you have no obligation to make a new brach on the Bedika. You made a brach on your house, you just go out to the driveway after you finish checking through the house, you do a Bedika in the car, and that will be a continuation of your Bedika that you've already started inside of the house. This is just one extra location that is considered an extension of my house itself. Now, those who plan to be away for Pesach, I don't know if people here are going to be home or not, But the halacha is as follows. If you're going to be away for Pesach, and you're not going to be in the house throughout the duration of the entire Yom Tov, you still have an obligation to do a bedikas chametz the last night that you were home before Pesach. So if you're going to go away Erev Pesach, whatever, the night before Erev Pesach, or you're going to go away a week before Pesach, you have an obligation to do a bedika already the last night that you're going to be home. That already is the time when you have an obligation to do so. That is only the case when you're going away within 30 days of Pesach. What if I go away for 6 months a year? I'm in Eretz Yisrael 6 months and I'm here 6 months. Welcome back from Eretz Yisrael. So if I'm here 6 months and I'm there 6 months, what is the halacha there? So there the Shulchan Aruch says, if you're going to leave your house way before Pesach, more than 30 days in advance, and you don't plan to come back before Pesach starts, you don't have to do bedikah. The only time you need to do bedikah is if you leave within 30 days of Pesach itself. And the reason for that is because Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, 30 days before Yom Tov, we already have to start readying ourselves for the proper way to celebrate that Yom Tov, and therefore we already have to worry about the mitzvah of Bir Chametz. So therefore we assume anyone who's going to go away within 30 days of Pesach, even if you have no intent at all to be in your house, you have an obligation to do a bedikas chametz nonetheless. So the Rishonim now have a dispute. How do we view such a bedikas chametz? And it's a three-way machlokas HaRishonim. What do you do if you're going to leave a week before Pesach? Do you make a bracha on that bedikah? The Magen Avraham clearly says that we assume you have to make a bedikas chametz the last night that you're going to be in your home. If you hear from Marv, it's going to be next door in the main shul. So if you're going to do a bedikah before you leave, that's certainly unquestionable what you need to do. But do you have to make a bracha on that bedikah that you're doing before the allotted time? That is a three-way dispute amongst the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say no. The real takana bedikas chametz is Erev Pesach. If you're not going to be home Erev Pesach, it's important that you check your house, but you have no obligation to make a bracha. Other Rishonim say, absolutely. If you're going to do a bedikas chametz now, this is the substitute for Erev Pesach. And therefore, just as on Erev Pesach you would make a bracha, so too, you would make a bracha now when you're doing it a few days prior to your departure as well. And therefore, we assume this is a major dispute amongst the Rishonim and the Ramah Paskins LaHalacha that we do not make a bracha. We do not assume that a bracha should be made when the bedikah is being done in advance of when the person is going to leave before Erev Pesach. We do not have to make a bracha. There is a halacha that many are not familiar with, and that is that while we're doing the mitzvah bedikas chametz, we start off by making a bracha al bir chametz, which is very curious. Why don't we say al bedikas chametz? And the answer is because this is the beginning of the process of the bir. Tomorrow we're going to take whatever we find and burn it at the bir, so therefore we make a bracha now, which really goes on the whole mitzvah, which is going to be extended over to the next day as well. However, after we make the bracha al bir chametz, that means we're in the middle of doing a mitzvah. And the same way, after I make a bracha of al netilas lulav, I'm not supposed to have any interruption of speech before I do my mitzvah, so too over here, after I make the bracha of al bir chametz, I'm really not supposed to speak after I make the bracha until the end of the bedikas chametz. So in my parents' house, my father always takes bedikas chametz very seriously, and it takes him a very long time to do it. And he always was careful not to speak from the beginning till the end. Now, obviously, if it was something that was relevant to the bedikah, he would say, did somebody check this room? Did somebody look under that bed? Obviously, that's not considered a hefsek. That's part of the mitzvah that you have to do. But outside of that, you're really not supposed to be talking because that is considered to be a hefsek. And in fact, this discussion goes even further because the Mordechai Maseches Pesachim quotes a Machlokes HaRishonim. Do we assume that somebody who does interrupt the mitzvah bedikas chametz with speaking has to make a new bracha or not? That's how far the Rishonim go. Maybe if you talk while you're doing the bedikas chametz, it invalidates the bracha that you've made, and you have to now make a new bracha. That is a major dispute. Obviously, the halacha, the way we paskin, is that you don't have to make a new bracha, but it's a big dispute amongst the Rishonim, and therefore the best idea is to try and be cognizant of the fact that speech is not something that we should be doing in the middle of our mitzvah of bedikas chametz. So, as we know, once a year, we have this obligation of bedikas chametz. And for most of us, that is going to be something that we'll do on Erev Pesach. For some people, if they leave earlier, they're going to do it before Pesach comes in, way before. But generally, what's very unusual about this is that generally when we have a mitzvah, that is what we refer to as a mitzvah haba mizman lizman. It's an unusual mitzvah. We only do it once a year. Generally, we say the bracha of Shechayanu. So the first time you shake lulav, and the first time you blow shofar, and the first time you do something that you haven't done in a whole year, we generally say a Shechayanu. And the question is, why is there no bracha of Shechayanu when it comes to the mitzvah of bedikas chametz? And this is a very obvious question. So the tour writes that there's a machlokas harishonim about this as well. Some rishonim actually say, you should make a shechiyanu. Makes a lot of sense. Why wouldn't you make a shechiyanu? After all, this is the same as every other mitzvah b'mizman l'zman, and there should be no distinction at all. And the same way by netilas lulav and shofar and megillah and chanukah, we always make a shechiyanu. So too over here, we make a shechiyanu as well. However, as we know, we adopt the position of most of the rishonim who say that we do not recite a shechiyanu on the mitzvah b'dikas chametz. And the question is, why? Why is b'dikas chametz any different than any other mitzvah that we do? So the Torah writes, perhaps the reason why is, in the name of his father, the Rosh, he says, because the b'dika is l'tzarech haregel. The reason why I'm doing the b'dikas chametz is in order that I should be fully prepared for the mitzvah of Pesach, b'yirah b'yimatzei, tashbisu sarah mibateichem. That's part of the mitzvah, part of my obligation for the Yom Tov itself. So when I make the shechiyanu on Yom Tov, that retroactively goes back on all the preparatory stages that I did to get ready for the Yom Tov as well. So there's no reason to say a second shechiyanu because this is so contingent on the Yom Tov itself. That's the answer that the Rosh gives. The Meiri gives a different idea, and he says perhaps the reason why is because shechiyanu is generally only recited when I'm actively doing a mitzvah. But over here, where I'm just preventing myself from violating an aveira, I'm just doing the bedikah to make sure that I don't violate bayirah bayimatzei tashbisu, then he says, I would say, that it stands to reason that no shechiyanu should be recited because you're not really actively doing a mitzvah, you're just trying to hold yourself back from violating an avera. A third approach is given by the Rashba, quotes it from Rabbeinu Peretz, and he says the reason why is because the only time you say shechiyanu is when we are really excited to do this mitzvah. And therefore he says, when it comes to shofar, everybody's excited about the shofar. Comes to Megillah, everyone's happy. Comes to Hanukkah candles, everyone's excited. When it comes to bedikas chametz, as much as I want to do the mitzvah, there's a certain part of me that's upset that I have to get rid of all this chametz in my house. That I have to actually lose so much money. I shopped in the supermarket the last few months, and now I got to toss out all of this chametz that I had in the closets. That's something that says the Rashba is not so exciting for all of us, and therefore he says, perhaps a shechiyanu is not warranted for that reason. So as we mentioned, there are a number of suggestions as to why a shechiyanu is not recited, but clearly in Shulchan Aruch we assume that a shechiyanu is not supposed to be said. So there are some gedolei hasfardim, like the Kaf HaChaim and others, who say that the same way on Rosh Hashanah when there's a shaila about shechiyanu, what do? We put on a beged chadash. So some achronim say maybe you should do that on Leil B'dikas Chametz also. Big shaila on the Rishonim, should you say shechiyanu? It's not clear. My father once told me if the Rishonim have to come up with 7, 8 very strange, unusual, newfangled reasons as to why there's no shechiyanu, it means perhaps none of the reasons are so compelling. Perhaps none of them are so compelling. It's not so clear. If it was so clear, the answer would be shared by all the Rishonim. So over here, some Svardash Achronim said, maybe you should wear Beged Chadash on the night of B'dikas Chametz, and you say Shechiyanu on that, and that will cover the Shechiyanu that you have to say for the mitzvah that we're not really sure if it should be recited or not. That's a big Chumrah, it's a big Chiddush, and it's not something that I've ever heard people do. Maybe the Svardash communities follow that practice, but I don't think the Ashkenazim do that at all, and we generally assume that since we paskin like Rov HaRishonim that no Shechiyanu should be recited, therefore we are confident that there's no reason to wear a beged chadash either, which by the way is not so clear. Bizman hazeh, it's true the Shulchan Aruch says, quoting Gemara and Brachos, that when you buy a beged chadash, you make a shechiyanu. But today, when we all have so many articles of clothing, we're not so excited when you buy a new suit. Maybe your children are very excited because how often do they get a new article of clothing, you know, that's really exciting for them? So maybe they make a shechiyanu. But for an adult, you have 5 suits and you have plenty of shirts and you have 2 pairs of shoes or 5 pairs of shoes, whatever you're going to have. So who's so excited when you buy a beged chadash? So it's not so clear in the first place that bizman hazeh, when you buy a beged chadash, which is really not that exciting, it's not so clear that you make a shechiyanu either, which means that it's not so clear that you're going to be able to get around the whole issue of shechiyanu regardless. So anyway, that's with regard to the bracha of al bir chametz and the bracha of shechiyanu. Now we get to the minhag that is quoted by the Rishonim. So the Ravid writes in the Sefer Tumim Deim, he says, I've heard that there's a minhag out there that some people on the night of B'dikas Chametz walk around their homes, put out 10 pieces of bread, and as they do that, he says, the reason why they do so is that they should be able to find something. After all, they're making a bracha al bir chametz. What's going to happen if you don't find anything? So they don't want to run into that problem. No problem, a bracha levatala. So they put out the pieces of chametz. Says the Ravid, minhag nashim hu. What does it mean, minig nashim? It means it developed. It's not really based on any source. And he says he thinks the whole thing is a mistake. Ein lo shorish. He said it has no source at all. That's the opinion of the Ravid. We look at the Shibalei Aleket in the 1300s, a little bit later, and he writes the following. Look at the first entry here. I don't know what happened to the copy machine, but something was off, and that's why this is a little crooked. So the Shibalei Aleket writes, Matzasi b'tshuvas ha-ga'onim, kishemivarech ala biur, when you make the bracha al biur chametz an leil b'dikas chametz, eino choshe shemeino motze chametz. You have nothing to worry about. So what if you don't find chametz? Ay, bracha levatala? No! Mikal makom nechshav biur. This is still called al biur chametz. This is still called doing my mitzvah of getting rid of the chametz. Masha mechazer acharav levaro. The very fact that I'm walking around my house and trying to get rid of whatever is there, that is my mitzvah. And when I make the bracha al biur chametz, it means that I'm going to try my best to get rid of whatever I can possibly find. If I don't find anything, there's no problem at all. Avali says, Achi Rabbeinu Binyamin Kasav, my brother Reb Binyamin said, She'eno sofer kein. He doesn't agree with me, and he feels, Kivan Sha bracha ala bedika, since you're making the bracha on the act of checking, v'ikar bedika hi wabir, ama yivarech, v'alo enim avar. If you end up not finding anything, that's a problem. So the Shibalei Aleket here already brings us this idea that there was a dispute among the Rishonim, meaning among himself and his brother, as to whether or not a person is required before the bedikas chametz to make sure that there's something in the house that they are going to be able to find. On the one hand, the Shibalei Aleket said, why would you be concerned? The mitzvah al biur chametz is to look around my house for chametz. If I don't find anything, I don't find. And his brother, Rabbi Yamin, said, no. If you don't find, then it turns out you made a bracha levatela. How is that allowed? So that's the machlokas. Writes the Biur Avra in Hilchas Bedikas Chametz in Taf Lamed Beis, I have a very clear proof that Rabbeinu Binyamin is wrong. Very clear proof that there is no obligation to put out the 10 pieces of bread before I do the mitzvah bedikas chametz. Why? We have a Gemara Maseches Pesachim. An unusual case. What if a person says the Gemara, Lo badak arba aser? Something happened, you were in the hospital, something was wrong, you didn't check on the night of bedikas chametz. Yivdok barba aser. Then you look on Erev Pesach. What happens if Erev Pesach, you were still in the hospital? So what do you do then? Lo badak barba aser, yivdok betoch hamoed. You check on Chol HaMoed. Lo badak betoch hamoed. What happens if the whole Yom Tov passes? I was in the hospital the whole time, I didn't have a chance to check. Now Yom Tov is over, says the Gemara, yivdok la'achar HaMoed. Okay, that's the halacha. That's what the Chachamim say. That's the Gemara Pesachim Daf Yud. Says the Vilna Gaon. So what happens if I'm one of those people? Unfortunately, I was unable to do a bedika Erev Pesach. Now it comes Yom Tov, and I realize I have an opportunity to do the mitzvah bedikas chametz. Says the Vilna Gaon, am I going to put out 10 pieces of chametz then? Of course not. It's on Pesach. You're not allowed to. And yet he says, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam both say that if a person finds themselves in a situation where they have to do a bedika on Yom Tov itself, because they weren't available beforehand, you make a bracha. Says the Vilna Gaon, is that not clear? That's a proof that obviously the mitzvah that we make a bracha on of al biur chametz is whether or not I find something or I look through my whole house and it turns out nothing was found at all, I make a bracha regardless because the bracha is to be recited on the act of checking. And I think his proof is a very powerful one. After all, if a person goes and checks on Yom Tov itself, obviously you're not going to walk around and put chametz around your house on Yom Tov, and yet the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Taf Lamed Hey that in such circumstances you will make a bracha before doing the mitzvah of bedikas chametz on Yom Tov itself. So that is his psak. How do we paskin about these 10 pieces? Writes the Raman Siman Taf Lamed Beis as follows. Number Gimel. Noagim, we have a practice. Lahaniach psisei hachametz b'makom sheyimtzam habodek. Kedei shelo tehei berchasa levatala. Says the Rama, we have adopted this minhag that we put out the 10 pieces of bread before we do the bedika. Umihu. However, he qualifies it and he says, im lo nasan, lo ikev. The Rama borrows this terminology from the Mishnayos and Zvachim. If you don't put out the 10 pieces, it's not going to be a problem for your bedika. Shadas kol adam b'shas habracha, levayer im nimsa. Because when I do the bracha, when I say the bracha here, obviously I mean that if I find something, I will be mevarit. If I don't find, so I won't. So therefore the Rama says it's a nice thing to do, but you really don't have to worry too much about it. If you end up forgetting to put out the 10 pieces, no problem at all, just move on. Now the Shari Tshuva there, not the Shari Tzion, Shari Tshuva there warns us that if you're going to do like the minhag of the Ramah to put out the 10 pieces, which minhag Ashkenaz is that we do that, he says you have to think about the following. It would make sense, he writes, that you make pieces that are smaller than a kezias. I remember when we were children, my father used to make us write down where we were hiding everything. Because he said, what's going to happen if I check the whole house and I'm missing something? Now I'm going to violate Bayi Rabbah Yimatzei on Pesach because you hid it. So it's going to be worse. Turns out the 10 pieces can make us violate the Aveira instead of making us enhance our mitzvah. So this is something we need to be careful about when we think about the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. Is there a bottle of water here? No. So this was something that, this is something that the Shari Tshuva writes, we have to be concerned about. When you make those 10 pieces of Chametz, at least make sure that they're smaller than a Kezayis, that we shouldn't have a concern that maybe we lost it somewhere and now we're going to violate the Yisr on Pesach of Bayi Rabbah Yimatzeh. That's what the Shari Tshuva writes. My father also used to tell us to put it in a paper bag or to put it in tinfoil. This way, you don't get crumbs all over the house. You got to be a little bit chachamena barosha. You have to think a little bit about what kind of 10 pieces you're going to put out. You have to write down where you're putting them. And you should make sure, says the Shari Tshuva, that at least they're less than the size of a kezayis. Therefore, even if you don't end up finding one of them, you won't violate the Aveira on Pesach Abayi Rabbah Yimatzeh. So,
why 10?
What?
Right?
What's 10 all about? I don't know. I'm sure there's some Heluk of Kavanas there, but you're asking the wrong guy. I don't know. Yeah.
Like
what?
Why could you Abayi Rabbah Yimatzeh on crumbs?
So even not. So you're saying you're going to make it Hefker. So let's say...
It is Hefker.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Baruch atu Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol mihi eved baro. Your question actually reminds me of something that has nothing to do with this, but it's a very important issue. I think I mentioned it in the past before Pesach, but it's worth mentioning again. When I lived in Washington Heights, there was someone whose wife had a practice from her mother, from her grandmother, from I don't know how far back, that when they made challah on Erev Shabbos, they were mafresh challah. They used to take off the piece. Did I mention this before? They used to take off the piece of challah and put it in the freezer. And Erev Pesach, they would burn all of those challahs from the whole year. Where the minute came from, I have no idea. Very bad idea. Let me tell you why. Bad idea because here's what happened. This friend of mine went away out of town to his in-laws for Yom Tif, totally forgot about all those hundreds of challahs that he had from all year long. And the problem was, he was now out of town. So he calls me up Erev Pesach, and he says, what do I do? So I said, well, you got a problem. Well, why do you have a problem? He says, I sold my whole house. So really, he shouldn't have a problem, because it's sold together with everything else, no? Problem is, it doesn't belong to him. Because when you're mafresh challah, it belongs to the Shevet HaKohanim. So you can't sell chametz that doesn't belong to you. So you have chametz in your house that belongs to another Jew that you took responsibility for. That's the real prohibition of Bayi Rabbah Yimatzeh on Pesach. That you took somebody else, another Jew's chametz, that you own and you take responsibility for, and you have it in your refrigerator, in your freezer, and you can't even get rid of it because you can't sell it. Who gave you the right to sell it if it's not yours? So I had to go to Far Rockaway on Erev Pesach, drive to his in-law's house here, his parents, his in-laws, whoever lived here, get the spare key to his apartment there in the Heights, finally goes Mamish Erev Pesach. It was already like after this man. We had to go and break into his house, find all those things of chametz, and then find a place to burn them. Where are you going to burn them on Erev Pesach after the fires are out already? This was a big issue. Don't make that mistake. Bad idea. Bad idea. So the whole minig is stam a bad idea because the Chazon Ish writes also in Hilchos Challah, Chazon Ish says that if challah really is supposed to be burned because it's domele, kachim, truma, whatever it is, he says, l'chari, you shouldn't wait around to just burn it whenever your convenience is. You should burn it right away. The same way by Kachem we have the halacha, so we should try to do the same here. So that's the Chazon Ish's tzad, even without this issue of Pesach. But Pesach, I think, is a very important issue. You can violate the Isra by Yerabah Yimatzeh on Pesach Midah Raisa if you have this minig. It's very easy to forget. On Erev Pesach, who's thinking about burning those little balls of challah that you took out all year long? And they're all bigger than a kezayis. So this is a major, major problem. You should make sure that you don't run into that problem. Anyway, in the Sefer of the Chibina Rav, he has an amazing insight. And that is, isn't it strange that we have a minig here that the Ramah says we should go and put out the 10 pieces of chametz, and then 5 minutes later, you walk around the house to the 10 places where you know you just put it, and you go looking as if you don't know where they are. So it says the Chabini Rav. So if you have somebody else in the family who can do it, says one thing. What if I live in a house by myself? The Ramah doesn't say you shouldn't put them out. The Ramah says that's the minig, you put them out. What am I putting them out for? What kind of bedika is that? What am I looking for? I know where it is. So Chabini Rav, such a genius. He says you have to look back at the very source that the Gemara quotes there. The Gemara there says Himsachim, number Dalit here. Says the Gemara, you have to check the house La'or Haner. You have to use a candle as you look through the house for Bedikas Chametz. Minani Mili. How do we know? Amar of Chizda, a very complicated limud. Lamadnu Metziah mi Metziah, Metziah mi Chippus, Chippus mi Chippus, Chippus mi Neres, Neres mi Ner. A whole drasha. Bottom line is, if you read through the Gemara says we learn it from when they look through the Amtachas Binyamin. When they look through the satchel of Binyamin to find the stolen cup from Yosef's palace, right, from Paro's house. So it says over there, Mitzia, Chippus, Ner, whatever it says, that they look for it, and from there we learn, you have to do Bedikas Chametz. That's what the Gemara basically says after this whole complicated drasha. Says it, Chabini Rav, I don't understand. It says, Yosef sent people to look for the cup. But Yosef knew where it was. His people put it in. Yosef's own people stuck the cup into the bag, and then 10 minutes later they come running after Binyamin, hey, we want to check everybody's bags, where's the cup? You know where it is. Says the Chabini Rav, you see from the Gemara itself, that's called a bedika. That's called looking. Even if you know where it is, it's still called looking. It's still called a mitzvah. And therefore he says, from the Makar, from the Gemara itself, where we learn the source of Bedikas Chametz, is the Raya, that there's no problem, even if I put out the pieces myself, that's still called a bedika. It sounds strange to us. He says, it might be strange, but the truth is, that you have every right to do it, because after all, the Gemara itself does learn it from there. Now, let's extend our discussion to other areas of halacha. As we mentioned, the Ramah says, and this is the discussion of the Shebalei Halakha, and other Rishonim, the Ravid, do I really need to put out pieces of chametz because I'm concerned maybe I won't find something? Or do we assume, no, that my bracha is on whatever it is that I'm about to do? I'm going to look for the chametz. If I find nothing, doesn't matter. Because after all, I did what I was supposed to do, and my obligation does not extend any further than that. How does this play into other halachas that we find throughout the year as well? So the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Daf Samach, Hanichnas Lishon Al Mitaso, number A. Somebody who goes to sleep at night. Mevarech Hamapil Chevli Shein Aleinu. So the Rambam right away fills us in and he says, just because the Gemara doesn't say, explicitly you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hamapil Chevli Shein, obviously the Rambam says, you have to say Shemu Malchus in the Bracha as well. And the Rambam basically teaches us that the Gemara is not a sitter, so the Gemara doesn't have to tell us every word of a bracha, that's not the point. And therefore the Rambam says, this is a real bracha, Hamapil is a real bracha. Okay, so the El Yerabba says, I don't understand, how do you make a bracha of Hamapil before you go to sleep? Maybe I won't fall asleep. So how can I make a bracha? Same kasha that the Shebalei Halakha's brother had. Rabbeinu Binyamin asked, how can I make a bracha al bir chametz? Maybe I won't find anything. Says the El Yerabba, how can the Gemara tell me to make a bracha on going to sleep? Maybe I won't fall asleep. Same thing? What? Why? I've had sleepless nights. Happens, right? No one ever calls you at 3 o'clock in the morning and keeps you up for the whole night? It's happened. You should go into the rabbinate. Anyway, so this ties in to a very important discussion that Tosis has in Brachos Daf Yud Aleph. Tosis there talks about Shal Rias Rabbeinu Tam. I forgot to put it on here. The Rias Rabbeinu Tam. Lamein Mevarchan Al Hashina B'Sukkah. You go to sleep in the sukkah at night, which we're supposed to do. It's part of the mitzvah of living in the sukkah. It's not only to eat there, not only to sleep there, not only to whatever, do everything else, but you're supposed to sleep there as well. So the Rias Rabbeinu Tam, why don't you make a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah? When you go into eating in the sukkah, you make Elisha Basukkah. So how come when you go to sleep, you don't say Lisha Basukkah? So two answers. The Re said, the reason why is because Chashinan Shemala Yuchalishon. Maybe you won't fall asleep. So how can you make a bracha? Maybe it's not going to happen. Answer number two, says Rabbeinu Tam, is I made the bracha Elisha Basukkah when I sat down to eat. That carries not only for the meal, it carries for everything I'm going to do in the sukkah. So my bracha extends way past the meal, and assuming that I'm going to stay there until I fall asleep, so the bracha that I made, Leishe Basukah, at the beginning of the meal, counts for everything else that's going to follow afterward as well. This is the Machlokas, the Re and Rabbeinu Tam. What you see is that the Re was of the opinion that whenever you have a concern that I'm not going to be able to fulfill that which I'm saying a bracha on, a bracha should not be recited. And therefore he says, The reason why we don't say a bracha by going to sleep in the sukkah is simply because I don't know if I'll be able to fall asleep when I lay down in the sukkah. And therefore the Elyon Rabbah writes, I don't understand, what's the difference? If the Ri says over there there's no bracha on shina b'sukkah because maybe you won't fall asleep, what about every night? Maybe you won't fall asleep. How can you ever make a hamapil because this is an issue? Writes the Elyon Rabbah, there's a major distinction. On the night of sukkah is when I say, al vitzivanu lishon b'sukkah, which we don't say, but he says, if you propose such a bracha, well, maybe you won't fall asleep, and therefore you shouldn't make it. Every night of the week, when I say Hamapil Chevle Shena, that has nothing to do with me personally. Says the Elyon Rabbah, that's a Birchas HaShevach. I'm thanking the Ribbono Shalom for giving human beings the ability to fall asleep and rejuvenate themselves in the morning. Whether I fall asleep or not makes no difference. I'm making the bracha on Minhago Shalolam. And therefore the Elyon Rabbah says, there's no problem at all. So the Bir Halacha quotes this from the Elyon Rabbah. The Mishnah Berurah writes, I'm not so convinced. Because after all, we're all familiar, we stay up Shavuos night, and we always ask someone else to make the bracha at the end of the Birchas HaShachar. Why? What do we say then? What's the Nusach then? What? Nusach is, I'm going to sleep. What do we say? Hamaber Sheinim Einai, thank you. Hamaber Sheinim Einai. So isn't that a personal bracha? That's not on Minhag Shel Olam. If the Elyon Rabbah is correct that when I say Hamapil Chevle Shena, that's not going on me, that's going on the world, on the ability to go to sleep, then the bracha in the morning as well of Hamavir Shena Me'enai is also not relating to me. It just has to do with the world. And therefore, why on Shavuos morning do we insist that somebody else has to come who slept during the night and make the bracha for us? What's the problem? What's the problem? We're making the bracha on Minhag Shel Olam. Even if I personally may not have slept, why should it make a difference? So this is a very tenuous issue. How do you really figure out what is the difference between the Ri's opinion by Sukkah and the opinion over here of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam that when going to sleep a person is supposed to make a bracha? It's a very interesting issue, but the Vilna Gaon writes in Shulchan Aruch also, why don't we tie into this Bedikas Chametz? After all, by Bedikas Chametz we're not concerned, and the Vilna Gaon writes, even the Rama himself who says you have to put out the pieces of Chametz, the Rama says, it's a chumrah. It's not something you have an absolute obligation to do. So the Rama himself agrees that you would be able to make a bracha al bir chametz, even though you know that I'm not going to find anything in this house. So he says, if that's the case, writes the Vilna Gaon, shouldn't this be tali on the machlokas, the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam, by sleeping in the sukkah? Very interesting issue. So let's take another test case. We have a mitzvah, b'tzedek tishpot amisecha. That mitzvah is, we have to set up Dinei Torah, we have to have Shoftim, and Shotrim, Titan, and Chal, B'chal, Sharecha, who are going to take care of all the judicial system in the Jewish community. So the Rishonim ask a question, how come, before we sit down to a Din Torah, the Dayanim should make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kishan Mitzvot Tzivanu, Ladun Dinei Torah, whatever it is, Ladun B'tzedek Tishpat Amisecha, whatever it might be, we should make a bracha, that we're doing whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us to do, which is to have a Din Torah here, to have it Al Pi HaTorah. So this is the question that the Rishonim ask. The Stechemet quotes the Rokeach, who says no. The only time you say a bracha is Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. Only when you have the ability to say the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded me to do something. That's only when it's exclusive to the Jewish people. But over here he says where Jews and non-Jews alike share the obligation of having Dinei Torah. After all, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is Dinim. So if we have to have a court system and they also have to have a just legal system, how can you say Asher Kedushanu Mitzvos Vitzivanu? It's not special to the Jewish people, it's the entire world. And therefore he writes, it wouldn't make sense to make a bracha Asher Kedushanu Mitzvos Vitzivanu because it's not relevant to this kind of mitzvah. That's the answer that some Rishonim say. And other Rishonim give other suggestions. The Rashba writes in a tshuva that the answer is very different. You know why you don't make a bracha on making a Din Torah? Because who knows if the litigants will actually follow your psak? Maybe one of them is going to be angry, and he's going to be assuming that you were dishonest in the psak that you gave. He's not going to pay the money, and it turns out we all wasted our time. So how can I make a bracha? Will turn out being a bracha levatela. That's the answer that the Rashba gives. Comes along the Pa'aso Shulchan, one of the greatest Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, who moved to Yerushalayim. And he moved to Tzvat. There were Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov. There were a bunch of Talmidim who moved to Eretz Yisrael after the Vilna Gaon passed away. So Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, the Pasa Shulchan writes, I don't understand. We're having a whole discussion here in the Rishonim about whether or not we should say a bracha on making a din Torah. And the Rashba says the reason why we don't is because maybe they won't accept your psak. Why don't you tell the Rashba to look in Shulchan Aruch and see what it says by Bedikas Chametz? By Bedikas Chametz we're not concerned. By Bedikas Chametz we make a bracha even though we know that we might not find anything. Even if I don't have 10 pieces in the house, I make a bracha. And by all these other cases, it should be the same. And therefore writes the Pasul Shulchan, how could the Rashba say the reason why a bracha is not recited by making a din Torah is because we're not sure whether or not Yikablu Bali Dinam Asadin, why is that relevant? Even if they're not going to accept the din Torah, we as the Dayanim still did our mitzvah, which is to listen to both sides, to be honest and fair with the judgment that we give, and now it's up to the parties whether or not they're going to listen to us. Why is that our problem? Why is that a bracha levatela? So this is an issue, as we mentioned, that comes up in many different contexts, in many different places. And in each place, the Rishonim are trying to figure out whether or not this would be considered a bracha levatela. Many other examples, but we don't have time to talk about it tonight. The most fundamental question that I think the Radvaz addresses when we talk about Bedikas Chametz is, Manishtana Bedikas Chametz Mikol Yisurei Achila Shabbator. Ask the Radvaz, I don't understand. We have many things that we're not allowed to eat. Chametz is not the only item during the year that is off limits. You're not allowed to eat nevela and treifa and non-kosher food and all kinds of things, basar b'chalav. So why is it that we don't have to go every night into our homes and start searching around to make sure there's no non-kosher food in the house? Why don't I have to go every day and make sure that there's no basar b'chalav in the kitchen? So you'll say you trust the family members. Let's say you have, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't, I don't know. But the question is, why don't I have a mitzvah bedika? Why don't I have a mitzvah to check and make sure that there's nothing there? Says the Radvaz, there must be something more here to the mitzvah bedikas chametz than just getting rid of a davar ha'asur from my house. So he goes through a whole discussion to try to differentiate what's the difference between this and machalas asuras. Finally, he comes to the conclusion, which is as follows. Look at the paragraph. Starts with Hilkach. The Radvaz is in Chelek Gimel of his tshuvas. Hilkach, he says, Adayin sarach tam. Says the Radvaz, the answer is as follows. We all know that Chametz bePesach is in some way supposed to remind us of our own Yetzirah. We refer to our Yetzirah as the Sa'or Shebe'isa, which is Chametz. And therefore he says, Kala Garesh Yigaresh Osa Adam Me'alav. We have an obligation. When we have a Yetzirah, when we have something wrong inside of ourselves, we have an obligation to search after it and to get rid of it. And Chametz teaches us that we all have an obligation not just to check our homes for that which doesn't belong there, but Chametz teaches us that we need to check inside of ourselves to see what it is that doesn't belong there and to make sure that we rid ourselves of whatever that might be. So one of the Chassidish Rebbe said a vart. They say that every year after Bedikas Chametz, he checked his whole house, and after he was done, he would open up his kapata and he would say, okay, now it's time to look inside here. Now I'm done with the house. Now it's time to start looking inside of myself. Did I also learn the message from the Bedikas Chametz? That it's an opportunity for all of us to remind ourselves that we are able to look through whatever it is that we have inside of ourselves, all of our own inadequacies, all of our own issues, and to actually understand what it is that's wrong with that as well. So the Belzer Rebbe said, Rabbi Yeshua LeBelzer has an amazing vart. I once saw it in a Torah journal. An amazing vart. The Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Pesachim, Or la'arba asar. What does that mean? It means Erev Pesach. The night of Erev Pesach, Bodkin es hachametz. Says the Belzer Rebbe, I don't understand. That's not proper dictum. What should it have said? Or la'arba asar. Bodkin es habayis mepnei hachametz. It should say, I look through my house to find the chametz in there. What do you mean, bodkin es hachametz? You look at the chametz? No, you don't. You look at your house, and if you happen to find chametz, then you get rid of it. So he says, the Mishnah seems to have chosen the wrong terminology to bring home the point. What do you mean, bodkin es hachametz? Bodkin es habayis mepnei hachametz. So the Belzer Rebbe explains, he gives a whole mashal, which we don't have time for, it's already almost 10 o'clock. But the Belzer Rebbe explains what it means is as follows. Like the Radvaz suggested, the whole exercise of Bedikas Chametz is really for a human being to remind themselves that we need to be bodek our own Sa'or Shebe'isa. Says the Belzer Rebbe, how often is there a problem in our lives where we identify the problem, we try to get rid of it, we never bother to scrutinize and study the problem. There's an obligation, he suggests, to be bodek es hachametz. When you identify the problem, it's not good enough to deal with it. One of the most important ways to deal with it is that you have to actually understand how the problem got there. You have to understand what it is that caused this issue to be a real issue in your life. And that suggests the Belzer Rebbe is what the Mishnah means to teach us when it says, Bodkin es hachametz. After you identify the problematic issue in your life, after you identify the problematic thing in your house, you have to be bodek it. You have to look very carefully under the microscope and understand, how did I get here? How did this problem actually present itself? So I was so taken when I saw this vart. I shared it with Rabbi Asher Weiss, and he said, you know, it's a very nice idea. And he said, based on that, he had a further idea. So he thought, maybe this is why we put out the 10 pieces of chametz. Maybe it's along the same lines. He suggested perhaps what it means is, sometimes we are the cause of our own problems. We need to take responsibility and realize, sometimes it's easier to push it onto other people than to say, it's the schools that I went to, it's the parents that I had, it's the situation that I'm in, the job that I have myself situated in, all the different things that we want to blame our problems on. Sometimes we need to take a step back and say, number one, we need to be bodek es hachametz. Don't just identify the problem, look carefully at what the problem is, and study about how it got there. But sometimes that study will bring us to a realization that we are the one who put the chametz pieces out there in the first place. That we're the ones who created our own issue. And therefore that is also part of the important exercise that we do, that we need to sometimes recognize the fact that we are responsible for our own shortcomings. This week's parasha, Aaron HaKohen. Such a great tzaddik, look at what he accomplished. But Aaron HaKohen, it's amazing when you think about what he was willing to say in our parasha. After all that he sacrificed and all that he did and the great tzidkus of Aaron HaKohen, he comes and he sees that the Shekhinah is not coming down into the Mishkan. And he says to his brother Moshe Rabbeinu, I brought all the karbonos and we built this exactly how we should have. Maybe it's my fault that the Shekhinah is not here. Maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam is angry at me because of my involvement in the Egel. Can you imagine? Aaron is willing to take responsibility on himself and to look at the root of an issue and say, maybe I'm the one who created this problem. Maybe I'm the reason why we are where we are. You know, there's a Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah, with this we'll close. It says about Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya that he realized he was in a very terrible place. And the Gemara says he turns to the Haram Ugvos, to the Shemesh, to the Yerech. He turns to everywhere and he says, daven for me, bikshu ala rachme. And then in the end he says, Eina davar tali alabi. He realizes, it's my problem. What the Gemara means to teach us is, sometimes when we're faced with a difficult situation in life, it's much easier to turn to the Harim, to the Gvoz, to the Shemesh, to the Yerech, to every excuse in the world and say, it's because of this, it's because of that. And in the end of the day, the mature person understands, you take a step back and you realize, Ein hadavar tali elabi. I'm in this place because of the decisions that I made, because of the choices that I had an opportunity to make, which were either positive or negative, but I made the wrong ones. It's okay. We have an opportunity of tshuva. But it's something that we sometimes need to recognize. And I was very taken by that comment of the Belzer Rebbe when he said, that's what we mean when we say, bodkin es hachametz. The Mishnah means to teach us, you have to get to the root of the issue and understand where you went wrong that brought you to the place where you are. That's what the whole exercise of Bedikas Chametz is about, says the Radvaz. Otherwise, Bedikas Chametz should be no different than the fact that we have no obligation to go looking around our kitchens every night for Machalas Asuras or Nevelas Utrefas or for anything else that we're not allowed to eat. Basar B'chalav. The reason why we have this opportunity to Bedikas Chametz on Leil Pesach, on Erev Pesach, is because we want to remind ourselves of the obligation that we have to open our jacket and say, after the bedikah is over, now let me look at what's going on inside of myself. Now that I've checked my whole house, now the real work begins. And to identify those problems, to understand the root of those problems, and to sometimes even say to ourselves, I was the one who put the pieces of chametz there in the first place. It's not the harem, it's not the gvos, it's not the schools I went to, it's not the parents I had, it's not the family that I have. It's my choices that I've made in life. And it's those choices that I have the opportunity to change, if only I allow myself to do that. If I only allow myself to see that there is an opportunity to change the life that I live. I think one of the Chassidus Rebbe writes as well, a lot of Chassidus Torah for one night, Tchila lemekrai kodesh, zecha liyitzias Mitzrayim. We say it in Kiddush all the time. So I think they play on the words and they say, Tchila lemekrai kodesh, the beginning of an ascent toward a higher place in life is, zecha liyitzias Mitzrayim, remind yourself of the fact that the Jewish people by Yitzias Mitzrayim were at the lowest of the low. Memtes shari tuma. And yet somehow they made a tremendous transformation, a complete turnaround, and look what happened. Such a short time later, they were already standing at Har Sinai Kabbalah Satorah, something that was the greatest moment in Jewish history. Tchila Mikrai Kodesh, if you want to begin your journey on that ascent toward Kedusha, toward doing something holy and divine and spiritual, just remind yourself, Zechad Yitzias Mitzrayim, remind yourself that it happened by Yitzias Mitzrayim, it could happen to you as well. The Ribbono Shalom allows you, wherever you might be, however many mistakes we may have made, the Ribbono Shalom allows you to always be on that path and to always come back to that Tchila LeMikrai Kodesh, to that calling for us to all live lives of Kedusha. So,